Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Good morning. Everybody doing all right? I'm going to get this big awkward table out from between us. How's that sound? So, well, hey, I have missed you guys. I appreciate that. Now, I realize there's a lot of new faces looking at up here like, why would you miss us? You've never been here before. I understand. I'm actually a member of the Vive family. We've been gone, a little while, I guess. But anyway, we're just coming in to hang out with you guys this week. We're super excited to be here. So I will introduce myself. My name's David Carr. We've been in the Vive family, three, 4 years, something like that. Extended family now, but we still consider this place home. It feels really good to be home with you guys. It's been amazing just to sit and talk and see what God's doing in y'all's lives, man. It's really cool. So a little bit about myself. For those that don't know me, I'm married to my wife, Erica. She's the super hot pink-haired girl up here in the front. Totally out of my league, right? She is amazing. We have three sons, okay? And they're okay. Yeah, So I told First Service that they're growing on me. I'm getting used to them. So we have an 8-year-old, we have a 2-year-old, and we have an 8-month-old. And so they're all cuter than they should be, but don't let the smooth taste fool you. Every one of them is crazy. All right. So for those who right, they take after their father, right? I get that. So, but those who do know me, hey. Hey, boo. Well, so it's good to see you guys. But anyway, so Randy told me I could do whatever I want today. So we're all going to go to Taco Bell and just tell him we had service. Now, but I'm going to talk to you guys about something that's kind of been playing through my mind over the past few months. Those of you who don't know, I do corporate chaplaincy throughout the week. All right, so I have 9 companies in the Columbia area that I go and visit with their employees. I'm like the work pastor is what some of them call me. And one of my really good friends, just out of nowhere, she was like, hey, guess what? I'm going to retire. And I'm like, that stinks, man. Like, who am I going to talk to? Somebody just made me laugh. But yeah, I'm like, I don't know what to do without you. Like, she was my rock, right? She was like one of those older ladies that when life's falling apart, you go and just sit in her office for a little bit and everything feels right again. You guys know that person? And so she's retiring. She's like, I said, well, why are you retiring? And she's going to go take care of her mom, and she's got all these plans for retirement. And one thing she said that really stuck out to me was, I want to make sure that my story ends well. And I thought, well, that's neat. I've never thought about that before. And so we started talking about our stories and our legacies, and you know, what are people going to say about me when I'm dead? And honestly, I don't care because I'm going to be dead. I don't have to listen to it. But in general, we want our lives to be worth something, right? We want our story to impact the world around us. So as I've been processing this for the last few months, I've come to a realization that, I don't know about you, but I've always thought of my life story as kind of like one movie, right? It's like this meta-narrative, this overarching story of my life. But then I realized that my life is not a movie at all. It's more like a mini-series with all these different episodes that happen in my life. And I have good episodes and I have bad episodes and some episodes that just nobody can explain. Just things that happened that we can't talk about because the cameras are on, right? Don't want the FBI knowing about them. Well, we've all, I'm just playing, Sarah. Just a joke. She's like, I'm sending this over. But what about y'all's miniseries? You know, you have this series of shows where things are going good, everything's exactly how you thought it would be. And then the next thing you know, the gates fall down and the zombies rush the town, right? For my Walking Dead folks. And those are bad episodes, right? You have bad episodes in life. But why do we have those episodes in this meta-narrative? And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about a story in the Bible from a man that you guys have probably heard of. His name's John the Baptist. We're going to insert ourselves into a moment in his life, and we're going to see if we can track along with him and learn some things for our lives. What do you guys think? You guys ready? All right, you guys got to wake up, man. This is second service, dude. You guys ready? All right, that's not nearly convincing enough, but we're going to move on anyway. So, all right, so Luke chapter 7 is where we're going to be. Before we get to the scriptures, I want to ask you guys a question. We're going to be looking at these stories, and I want you guys to be able to answer this question today, okay? Where is God in your story? So when things are going bad, is, you know, where is God in the bad stuff? Where is God in the good stuff? Where is he? Do you ever get in a situation where you start to allow what's going on in your life to dictate the way you view God? It's like this bad episode becomes a lens that you look at God through and think things like, well, if God really loved me like he said he does, then why does my life look like this? Has anybody else ever asked that question before? Because I've asked it more times than I probably should have. So we're going to join John here in Luke chapter 7, because I think we find him in that situation. All right, so chapter 7 says, the disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. So John the Baptist is actually questioning who Jesus is. And that doesn't make sense to me. Because John the Baptist, you know, he's Jesus' cousin, right? So they grew up somewhat together. They probably saw each other pretty frequently. In fact, when John, before John was born, Mary, who's pregnant with Jesus, comes and visits Elizabeth, John's mother, and she said, as soon as I heard your voice, the baby inside me leapt with joy. And then later on in life, John is standing by the river, and Jesus walks by, and he's like, hey, look, that's him. That's the Messiah. That's the Lamb of God who's going to take away all the sins of the world. John was one of the very first people to believe that Christ was Messiah. He was also the one that baptized Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, he watched with his own eyes as the Holy Spirit descended on him. And then he heard God the Father's voice saying that that was his son and he's pleased in him. So John's got a lot of firsthand evidence about why Jesus is the Messiah. So what happened that we now find him saying, are you really him? Well, there's a little life circumstance that's taking place. At this point, John the Baptist is in prison, and he is facing getting his head cut off. And I don't know how long he's been in prison, but I would imagine that when he first got to prison, he didn't really think much about it, right? Can you imagine he's going and he's in, they strap him to the chains, the dude in the chains next to him says, hey man, how long you in for? And he's like, not long, baby, my cousin's the Messiah. He coming to get me. I don't know about y'all, but I'm out. He probably had a whole lot of confidence, you know, being the Messiah's cousin. But Jesus didn't come get him out of prison. In fact, John will later die. He'll be decapitated in that prison. So what happened between the moment that life took the turn and now John is even questioning who Jesus is? Have you ever had an episode of your life where it gets bad and you think, you know, I've seen God perform miracles and things like this before, so I know he's going to come through. He'll be here any minute. God's going to make something happen any minute. And then minutes turn into hours and God's not done anything. And then you have days and then weeks and sometimes months or even years. And God still hasn't done what you thought he would do. What happens to your faith at that point? It kind of starts to diminish, doesn't it? You start to kind of back out. Well, maybe God's not coming for me this time. Maybe I messed up. Anybody ever thought that? Maybe I'm the one that messed up. Now God's not going to come get me. Sometimes in those situations, we even try to step in and take care of it ourselves, right? You remember Abraham and Sarah? 100-year-old people, and God's like, hey, you guys are going to have a baby. And they're like, well, it hasn't happened yet. So they came up with their own way to have a baby. And God's like, no. Look, let's set this one aside, Ishmael, because I'm going to give you Isaac, because this is the blessing that I told you was coming. So we have these episodes just like John the Baptist. Because I don't care what you believe, not every day is going to be sunshine and rainbows. Okay? Sometimes you're going to make your wives mad, men. It happens. Okay? Why did my wife laugh that hard? That wasn't even the joke. Right? But sometimes, man, you're going to make your wives mad. Why? Sometimes you're going to make us mad. Okay? Now, how many of you guys argue with your wives? Smart men. Look at this. Now, look, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a heavyweight champion at losing arguments with my wife. Okay? My wife has a look she gives me I call the victory smug. Right? It's this little, when she knows she's got me. A few months ago, we were just in the kitchen talking. She gave me the victory smug. I didn't even know we were arguing. I can lose fights with my wife that I don't know we're having. It's a special skill set I've got. I'll teach you. And actually, I refuse to argue with my wife anymore because she's smarter than me. And she sets these little verbal traps, okay? And I'll just walk right into them. You know, all happy dory. But sometimes when I fight with my life situation changes a little bit, right? Because my household's not as happy. But that doesn't mean that God's going to leave us in that unhappiness. What's going on in your life? Have you gotten, what's your like with your marriage? Is your marriage facing rocks? Are you at the point where you're struggling to keep faith because you feel like everything in the world's crashing around you? What do you do when the doctor comes in with bad news? What do you do then? I mean, you can hold on to really strong faith for a little while, right? You can say, God's got this. I know it. But then as months go by and there's not been a change from the doctor, maybe you diminish your faith, or that diminishes your faith a little bit. So let's look at Jesus. Like, how did Jesus handle this when his cousin, like his boy, right? Like, this is literal fam. Is that what the young kids say, Chi Alpha? Fam? Okay. I don't know. I'm trying, guys. I'm almost 40. How does he handle this, right? What's that? Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm going to buy you Taco Bell. All right, so let's look and see how Jesus handles this, right? So Jesus gets these messengers, and it's weird because at first Jesus doesn't even respond to them, does he? Because he could have been like, oh, look, go tell John that I'm healing people. Go tell him, you know, people are getting the gospel spread to him. Just tell him that I got work to do. What does he do? In verse 21, y'all won't show it on the screen, but it says, as soon as they asked him, he started healing people. He just started doing it. He was giving these disciples an experience to go with the story they were going to tell John. So let's look at verse 22. What does Jesus tell them to do? He answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus could have said, started with that, right? Just go tell John this. How would those disciples have went and told the story? They get back to the jail cell. They're like, John, hey, man, he said people are getting healed. You know, poor are getting good news preached. He said people are rising from the dead. You know, so there's your answer. But Jesus decided to give them an experience so that not only could they tell the story, they would get to experience the Messiah. So that now that when they go back, they're like, John, you would not believe this dude. Like, this arm just like grew back, man. You know, this guy was like, his nose was falling off, and Jesus like stuck it back on, man. You know, can you imagine how the story changes there? Because you have that emotional connection with the story. That's the same thing that happens when our life turns, right? When the story changes, when the plot twists, immediately we have that excited experience because we've seen God do it. But John had lost the excitement of becoming in contact with the Messiah because he allowed his life circumstances to dictate the way that he would view Christ. And guys, I've been in that boat. Like, I have rode that boat with John, man. So Jesus tells these disciples of John's to go back and remind John of a story, because I guarantee that when John was listening to the story with the excitement of the fresh experience, John was like, oh yeah, I've seen him do that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, I remember when he did this and this and this, and the excitement begins to build, and the excitement just rejuvenates the faith that he had in Christ. It's all because of a story. So our stories, our little mini series that we have going on in this life, sometimes it feels like God is juicing you, right? He's just squeezing you. Has anybody else ever felt that? But it's in those moments that we become so much closer to him. When we don't know what's going on, we don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if my wife is ever coming back. I don't know if I'm going to live through this medical episode. That's when our faith grows. When we feel like we're just about to lose it all, we're reminded of a story. Have you guys ever had a but God moment? Somebody said, what? A but God moment. You've been in a situation where it was going to end badly, but God intervened, right? I shouldn't have survived that car wreck, but God. I had too much month at the end of the money, but God showed up. My marriage was falling apart. My kids are just feral beast, but God showed up. I had one of those several years ago. I had just started Bible college. My wife had just left me. We obviously got remarried when I stopped being a jerk about everything. We actually went through a full divorce throughout that year. I'd signed up to be a full-time college student in my 30s, which I do not advise. It's fun, but then I had to get like a full-time job as well. So I was trying to do dad. I was trying to make money. Anyway, I got in a situation where I needed to get like $3,000 like within a few days, or they were going to be like taking my house. All right, like it was getting pretty serious. And so I was praying about it. I was like, you know, God, I thought this is where you called me to be. I didn't know this was going to happen. So I really need to step in. It kept getting closer and closer to cutoff date. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'll just live in my truck. And then when Ben comes over, we can go camping. He'll love it. So I had this whole thing worked out. Anyway, I get back from class one day. And at this point, I'd even given up praying about the situation. You guys been there? Like, I just even stopped asking God for it. I figured I knew what he was doing. Anyway, I pull out the mail, and there's an envelope from my previous employer. And I'm like, well, this is weird. I opened it up. I needed $3,000. This was a check for like $3,300. And I thought, okay, well, I need to check this. Because if I cash this and they want it back, I ain't going to have it to give back. So I called them, and they're like, oh, yeah, see, what had happened was you got that raise, and that it never actually reflected on your paycheck, and we did an audit of our system and found that. So that's all the back pay we owe you. That was a but God moment, because I was about to take up residence in a 2007 Ford F-150. But God stepped in. And those moments, those mountaintop moments, those are the moments that we look back to build our faith when the current situation is beating us down. Because we know that God is faithful. One reason we know it is because he said he was faithful. But then we've seen him be faithful in these previous episodes of our lives. We've seen him come through time and time again, and come through sometimes in some miraculous ways, and sometimes in such a subtle way you don't even notice it until you're looking back. So when life has got you in that episode where you're being beaten down, we can look back and say, but God did it then. And then we share that story with other people. And they share their stories with us. Because one thing about those bad episodes in life is sometimes they leave a scar. And sometimes you'll meet somebody just in your daily life that's going through a similar circumstance. And you can reach back into that pain they're having and say, look, man, I experienced something similar like this. Let me show you how it worked out for me. Your battle scars can build the faith of people who are going through things. So John, the predecessor of Jesus Christ, you know, one of the very first believers, gets thrown in prison. His life changes, and that's when he starts to doubt. I've had a lot of episodes in my life that have taken me from faith to doubt. There's been stories that I could tell you guys that I'm not even sure how I made it through, to be honest with you. Actually, that would encompass most of my 20s. Because when I turned 30, like, all my friends were like, dude, can you believe we're 30? I'm like, dude, can you believe we made it? But there's a secret that I want to share with you guys. It's Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Jesus says, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I tell you, none who are born of women is greater than John. All of John's doubt didn't change the way Jesus thought of him. All of our doubt doesn't change the way God views us. When life gives us those circumstances that we view God differently because of what's going on in our lives, God does not change the way that he looks at us. And that is a powerful realization. That God is big enough to handle my doubts and my complaints and my arguments. Has anybody else ever argued with God? I've been in my backyard literally having a verbal argument with God. My neighbors probably think I talk to trees. But all that stuff, like I've been mad at God before. But none of that changed the way God viewed me. I was still a beloved son. You're still a beloved daughter. God's big enough to handle your doubts and your pains and your transgressions. He's big enough. He still consumes it all. You know, one of my life verses is Romans 8:28. It says, for all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's kind of like my ipso facto life verse, because I'm the guy that will like jump off a cliff and try to build the parachute on the way down. Whereas some of you people are planners. Usually I don't even know the cliff is coming. I just go. But I know that whatever God's got me in, he's going to make something good out of it. For instance, I told you guys earlier, my wife and I got a divorce back in 2012, 2013 time frame. That was horrible, man. Like, that was hard. And it was crazy because, like, I never even, like, wanted to get married. You know, I lived my whole 20s single. We got married when I was 29. I met her when we were 13. Okay, so I chased her for, like, 17 years. And finally, all of her other options ran out. And she was like, you know what, whatever, dude. Let's just make it happen. And actually, one time in high school, I was flirting with her, and she said, oh, that's cute. So, but God works all of it together for the good, because I can look back now and, you know, in ministry and in chaplaincy, I do a lot of counseling and a lot of life-on-life type stuff. And before that, I could be like, well, you know, the Bible says this about marriage. And, you know, I was just telling the story from what I had read. But now I can tell this story from my own personal experience of encountering God in the midst of a divorce. And it's weird because after that happened, it seemed like I started meeting a whole lot more people whose marriages were in rough spots. And I've been able to, you know, speak into several marriages. And, you know, I get it. Sometimes marriages crumble, some, you know, but, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. I don't think it should ever happen. But sometimes it's a fact of the life that it does happen, right? But God has been able to use that horrendous, dark story of my life to bring life into other people's stories. Now, isn't that what we're all about here at Vive, is bringing people to life, right? We bring them to life by sharing our stories, and not just the good stories. Sometimes we got to share the story about when I gave up. Sometimes someone who's hurting needs to know that I've hurt too. Now, one thing I will caution you about is you'll never hear me tell somebody that I know exactly how you're feeling. I will never say that, because I've had people say that to me, and I'm like, you know, your circumstance was the same, but we're different people. I don't know how you react to this. So what is God doing in the midst of our bad episodes? Is it coming to a point where God is just saying, you know, look at the past. Look at the grace you've received so far. Look at all the good I've done. Have I ever failed you before? I need you to hold tight for a second. Because sometimes God is moving other pieces that you can't even see. And God's going to be moving those pieces so that when he gets ready to move you, he moves you to a place of peace. But maybe he has to deal with somebody else's pride before he can get rid of your pain. Maybe God has to deal with somebody else's sin in order to get you to a place of peace. Maybe God has to deal with our own pride and sin. Maybe he has to put us in a circumstance where we have no choice but to hit our knees and cry to him. I know a lot of you guys are a lot more spiritual than me, and then some people, like God will speak to you, and you're like, oh, sweet, dude, I'm doing it. That's not me. God beats me with 2x4s. That's how I learn. And so I understand that sometimes, man, life is going to bring us to our knees. But you're already in a good prayer position when you're there. So trust God in the story. When the world falls apart around you, trust God in the story. Because all we are is a chapter of God's all-encompassing story. God has given you this life, and he's given you these situations so that you can be a part of the grand story of God's glory. And everything we have works together for a purpose. There's a couple people I want to talk to you about so we can see this throughout Scripture. We've already talked about Abraham and Sarah. I don't know why Adam came out, but Abraham and Sarah. You guys ever heard of the guy Gideon? Gideon was a judge in the Old Testament. He's a leader of Israel. And there's a story, I think it's Judges chapter 6. That may be wrong. Somebody Google it. It's in Judges, I know that. But anyway, the story of him being called to be a judge has always been a little funny to me. And those of you who know me know that I've got like a really weird, warped sense of humor. But I find this funny. First we meet Gideon, and he's standing in a wine press. Okay, the ancient wine presses were just like a huge hole in the ground where they go smash out grapes like Lucille Ball. At least that's how I imagine it. And they make their wine there. Gideon's hiding in this wine press, and he's threshing wheat because he doesn't want the Midianites, their enemies, to see it and come steal his food. So he's scared. He's afraid. He's hiding in a hole in the side of a mountain. And the angel of the Lord appears, and he's like, "Greetings, almighty man of valor." And I'm like, this dude's hiding. Like, did you not see that before you walked up? I can imagine Gideon going, "Well, I thought I was alone." You know, like, who's this mighty dude you're talking about? You see, even when we're scared and we're afraid and we're alone, God will always call us by our name or the gift he's already placed in us. He will never call you by your sin. He will never call you by your doubt. He will always use your name. So when we've got these situations in life, and I don't know if you're in one now, but you may be. If not, you're probably either coming out of one or getting ready to go in one, right? That's really kind of the three phases of life. I want to encourage you this morning. Even if you don't see him moving, he is still in full operation in your life. When the doctors keep coming back with bad report after bad report, God is still moving in your life. He is writing a story, a beautiful story, about how all people are loved by him and fully accepted by him, and he has chosen us to be the instruments of that story. Because we use our story. The good stories, the bad stories, and we're able to show his story through the way that he operates in our lives. So I'd like to invite the worship team up. And I want you guys to remember this. As you're thinking through this week about your story and what God is doing in your story, and you're figuring out where is God in my story, I want you to always remember this one thing. Your story is not just important to God. Your story is imperative to his mission. Everything that goes on in your life is very important to God. If you read Matthew chapter 6, you see that he clothes the flowers of the field. There's not a sparrow that falls from the sky that he doesn't notice. How much more does he notice you and what you're going through? So it's very important to him, but the other part is he has to have your story. If his love is going to spread to every man, woman, and child on this planet, he needs your story. It's the only way he can accomplish his mission. It's the only way he's chosen to do it. So if you guys would stand with me real quick. You probably don't hear a lot of people say this from a stage like this, but it's okay to have doubt in God. It's okay that sometimes life circumstances pushes you to the very edge of your faith. It's okay. God is big enough to handle our doubts and our frustrations and our pains. But when you feel that coming in and you feel that your faith is on the ventilator, think about the "but God" stories. Think about the time that he has intervened in your life and the lives of your friends and families, and allow the experience of past times to build your faith in your current situation. And share your story. Share the stories of what God is doing in your life everywhere that you go, because you don't know whose faith you're going to build. So I have a couple of questions for you this morning. If you guys would bow your heads with me. I know that in a crowd this size, somebody's going through something. And so what I want to do this morning is partner with you in prayer. And so if you've got something going on in your life, if you're in a bad episode in life, if you would just kind of wave at me from the crowd. We got several all over the room. And I'm going to pray for you guys that raised your hands. But I want you to know that a bad episode is not the end of the movie. Father, thank you that you are in control of our every move. That you have our life in the palm of your hand. And Lord, this morning we've got some brothers and sisters that are struggling. And Lord, they need you to intervene and to step into their lives. God, I pray that this moment would be a plot twist in their story. That this right here would be the "but God" moment in this episode of the story. Father, for the anxieties and the depressions and the frustrations of life, I pray that you would speak peace into those situations. God, for those who need healing, I pray that you would speak healing directly into their bodies. Lord, for the marriages that are struggling, God, I pray that you would bring peace. And Lord, we know because you are good and you're always good, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. We know that in this moment, something good will be produced. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Now my last question for you. Maybe you've been here this morning and you've been thinking that you're not real sure about all this stuff, that it doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. And that's a good place to be, because that will pique your curiosity and have you look deeper at it. And I want to encourage you guys this morning that if you've not begun a faith journey of being a Christ follower, that there's no time like the present. To begin a relationship with the author of your story. The Bible says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. So So I feel like I would be amiss if I did not give you at least that opportunity this morning. So if you're here this morning and you've not yet taken that step and you're willing to take that step this morning, if you would just wave at me again, that would be, we'll join together in prayer. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. So we have several going up around the room. Yes, sir. There's something that changes in life when you begin to have that love relationship with the author of your story. So if you guys would pray with me, just for the benefit of everyone that raised their hands, if everybody would repeat this prayer, we'd just say, Father, thank you for forgiving my sins. Today, I become your child and look forward to finishing my story with you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we welcome everybody into the kingdom real quick? And let's spend a few minutes in worship and thank God for what he's doing inside the stories of our lives.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.